I'm Melissa Harris-Perry, and you're listening to The Takeaway. Now raise your hand if your fridge is stacked with Tupperware full of turkey, cranberry sauce, stuffing, and greens. Okay, put your hands down now. Now raise your hand again if you're feeling ready to eat anything but turkey, cranberry sauce, stuffing, and greens. Yes, it's time for Leftover Recipes. And here to help is Dan Pashman, the host of the Sporkful Food Podcast. Dan, great to have you here.
Hey, Melissa, great to talk with you.
All right, let's start with turkey. I made a 22-pound turkey this year. There
nice.
Is still a lot in my fridge. What do we do with it?
Well, I mean, the first thing I'll say, and this is my number one general rule of leftovers, is don't just think of your leftovers as the old version of the thing that you cooked a few days ago. Think of leftovers as potential ingredients in new foods. So you can chop up turkey and you can make hash. You can mix it with potatoes. You can wrap it in a flour tortilla and make a burrito. You can toss it with rice and all kinds of spices. It doesn't have to just be turkey. You can use it as the meat in anything that you might ever want to eat. And so I think that I love a turkey sandwich with, I've been on a big Coleman's English mustard kick in my life lately. It's kind of got a little bit of a grainy texture and a back of the throat spice like wasabi. You get a little Coleman's English mustard on your turkey. That's going to be fantastic. But you can also throw it into jambalaya if you want.
So let's talk about the practice my family's always had of boiling the carcass, getting all the rest of the meat off of it, and then using that for like a base for soups. Is that kosher? Is that okay?
Sure, that's wonderful. Now, in my family, we don't get to the point of boiling the carcass to get the extra meat off because my mom usually just sits at the table the next day with the entire carcass on a dinner plate and picks at it until there is definitely no more meat. But you can still boil it to get stock. I know some people will let it boil for the day with some leftover vegetables in there, and then you can freeze that stock and you can use that for months, you know, portion it into a couple of different containers and you can break that out months later.
Now, we are also a family that does officially way too much on desserts. And so there comes a point where everybody's already gone home. And like, for example, there's still an entire extra sweet potato pie, you know, in my refrigerator. It is not acceptable for me to just sit and eat that pie. Is there something else I can do with leftover desserts?
Well, first of all, Melissa, I'm not sure who told you it's not acceptable to just sit and eat that pie. Our pies are in the extra refrigerator in the basement, which is in the laundry room. And, you know, I don't want to have to break out all the pies when my kids are awake because then they're going to want some. And so, like, my wife was like, hey, can you put the wash in the dryer? And I was like, but of course, my dear, I'd be more than happy to. And I, you know, just happened to grab a fork on the way down to the laundry room. And then she's like, where did you go? I was like, well, I was in the laundry room, okay? I just had to check on the pies. So for sure, look, to me, nibbling on little bits of pie, look, you know, you have to keep it even, right, Melissa? You know, you can't just cut a jagged edge off the pie. You have to even it out. And then it seems uneven on one side, so you nibble there. Pretty soon the pie's gone. But my favorite way to eat pie is to take a slice of pie and a scoop of ice cream and to kind of chop them up so they mix up together. In fact, in this week's episode of The Sporkful that just came out, I attempted to make a viral TikTok. And this is what my video was about, was how I eat pie. And chop up the pie with a spoon with the ice cream. Get them all mixed together so the ice cream is like half melted. And then if you really want to get crazy, you add a little sprinkle of some fancy salt and like a teaspoon of bourbon, mix it all up. You get like crunchy bits of pie. You get creamy bits of ice cream. You get the liquor. You get sweet and savory. It's, I mean, ridiculous.
Okay. We can't have this conversation without talking about pasta. Apparently you created a new pasta. How's that even possible?
Yeah, this was a big project of mine that I spent 3 years trying to invent a new shape of pasta. It was a long quest, which we chronicled in a 5-part series on the Sporkful called Mission Impossible. And the pasta came out this past March and exceeded all of my wildest expectations and has kind of been basically went viral. It's been a huge hit. And now it's sort of beyond viral. Now it's becoming a mainstay. And this fall, it's been going into stores and even some restaurants, which has been very exciting to see. And then we got a pretty mind-blowing development within the last couple of weeks that it was named one of Time Magazine's 100 Best Inventions of 2021. The pasta shape is called cascatelli. It's specially engineered to hold a lot of sauce and to have a lot of different textures in your mouth. And it's pretty exciting. I can't lie. It's still exciting.
It is pretty exciting. And in fact, I have to share that, you know, making the takeaway is very much like Thanksgiving dinner. It's a very collaborative process. We're all in there talking. And as soon as we brought up Cascatelli, multiple producers were like, you cannot believe how well it holds sauce. Like, this is an incredible pasta.
Yeah, I've had parents email me and they said that this was the first time they served their kids pasta with tomato sauce and they didn't get any sauce on their shirts because the sauce clung to the pasta so well, which was not part of my testing process, but I'm glad it worked.
Yeah, that's not a small point. That also makes it date-worthy pasta if you're not going to drop the sauce on your shirt.
That's right. I should try a Valentine's Day marketing plan for that.
I'm wondering also, you know, this point about it being this extraordinary invention of, you know, one of the best inventions of 2021 by Time Magazine. And even us talking about, you know, having the, you know, refrigerator in the basement. You know, I'm an old Southern lady, so I think we always have like a deep freeze and a refrigerator in the basement and that kind of thing. But sure. I'm also wondering if there's something going on in our, you know, second pandemic holiday season. Are we desiring this kind of capacity to cook at home, but also to have a little bit of space to not be exclusively like just having that to do? Because we're back to all of these other aspects of, you know, real life, but also, you know, having spent enough time at home, many of us, to want to be in our kitchens again.
For sure. I think you make a good point. I mean, you know, if you recall early on in the pandemic, people were baking sourdough and there was all of this big project cooking taking place. And I think we kind of burnt through that enthusiasm. but there's still, I think, a lot of desire for comfort food. You know, I think that people are turn to food when they're feeling stressed. And there has been, you know, that trend. You talk to the grocery industry has seen this trend across a variety of different categories this year, people gravitating towards comfort foods. But I think it's now a little bit more like quick comfort. Mm-hmm. As opposed to project cooking comfort. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that it's been interesting to see how the kind of stress of the pandemic, I can't speak for everyone. I know in my case, it's sort of like I have little kids, I'm still working, my wife's still working. So, you know, there's this big external stress in the world, but then, you know, you still have to put one foot in front of the other and keep functioning and moving forward every single day. And when you can sit down with a big bowl of pasta at the end of the night or whatever it is for you, I think that, you know, that can help take the edge off.
What's on your food radar for 2022? Any more award-winning food creations?
Well, I haven't gotten far enough to create any new foods yet. If I create something new, I don't know that it would be a pasta shape. I think I would probably want to do something in a new and different direction. I will say, if I was going to pick one trend for the next year or two, this is my pick: beer with salt added.
What?
I'm telling you, Melissa, this is coming, okay? In many parts of the world, this is not new, I should say. I first encountered it actually at a WNYC after work drinks event at a place called the Rusty Knot on West Street in Manhattan, where they served me a Tecate can of beer with a sprinkle of salt inside, and it changed my life. Now there's Blue Point Beer, which is out on Long Island. They have a beer now they're selling with salt added. And so I'm telling you, just keep an eye out on this trend. I think that it's going to be very big, and it's very delicious.
Okay, salty beer. Dan Pashman. Dan Pashman is the host of the Sporkful Food Podcast. Dan, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much, Melissa. Take care.